Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
From the Lineup Media Studios, welcome to the Metro East Sports Podcast, season number 2, show number 46, recorded Monday, December 6, 2021. Thanks, as always, to partners Cassins, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, Callaway Home Loans, Keller Williams Marquee, Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game, Integrity Spine and Joint Center, Front Office Fiduciary Network, and Oak Brook Golf Club. We're talking all things sports in the Metro East. I'm Dave Leip. Big show tonight. Nothing but Mespy winners. Guest number 3, Chris Eddy. O'Fallon Township Girls Golf 2A Mespy winners, team of the year. Guest number 2, Angie Crawford, 3A volleyball team of the year. Did you play them? Waterloo?
Nope, we didn't.
And guest number 1 in the studio just talking to me, Heather Olau, 4A volleyball team of the year coach and her star player of the year for 4A. Gabby Say. But before I get to these supermodels over here, by far the two tallest women I've had together on the show. Now, Amanda Kemijes is taller. Belleville East basketball coach. She's even taller than you, Gabby. We'll get to that in a second, though. Three things you can do to help. Number 1, subscribe to this podcast. It is free. Number 2, follow us in all of our social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And, of course, YouTube. And number 3, if you have a story idea, email me, please, at mespdave@gmail.com. And don't forget to nominate your favorite team for Integrity Spine and Joint Center Team of the Month. Could be a park and rec team, could be a middle school team, a high school team, you name it. Belleville East Girls Tennis was the team of the month for October. Muscoota Football was the team of the month for November. To nominate a team of the month, send your suggestions to me at mespdave@gmail.com and please put team of the month in the subject line. Okay, ladies, ready to talk volleyball?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Tigers.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Coach Olau, you're back here for the second time.
Yes. Yes, I am.
So how many trips is this for the Olau family to the Metro Esports podcast?
I believe the third total. I've been lucky enough to be here twice. Craig only once.
I think, yeah. I feel like Craig's been here twice. Mm-hmm. I feel like he came here once and then he came back again to talk about his book. But, man, he's a character.
Yeah, a little bit.
He makes me laugh. But congrats on a great season, Coach.
Thank you.
And a big part of that was the gal to your right. Welcome to the show, Gabby Say.
Thank you.
Are you the last Say girl? You're the third?
Yes, I'm the youngest.
Okay. So was it just a given that you were going to be a volleyball star at EHS and follow in the footsteps of your sisters?
I mean, yeah, that was definitely the goal. I definitely was wanting to follow in their footsteps.
How tall are you?
I'm like 6'2".
Like 6'2"?
Roughly.
You're 6'2". And what position do you play on the team?
I'm a right side hitter.
And you crush it? I've seen you. I watched your highlight reel a little bit ago. Can you hit with both hands?
No, I'm just left-handed.
Just lefty?
Yeah.
All right. How about most girls? Do all girls hit with just one hand or the other, Coach?
Usually. I think if you find somebody that has power with both, that's a rare occurrence.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your incredible season. Fourth place at state, regional championship, sectional championship, super sectional championship, and a trip to the state tournament. How many times this year did you pinch yourself?
Pretty often, especially during that last week of postseason where we traveled and competed in both the sectional, semifinal, sectional championship, and then the super sectional.
Was your team playing its best at the end, or were you guys consistently awesome all season long?
I feel that we were consistent throughout the season. I think coming down that postseason, we cleaned up some things that hindered us a little bit during the regular season, but yeah, we were playing some pretty good volleyball throughout, but stepped up in that postseason run.
Gabby, let's talk to you for a second. How much fun did you have this year?
Tons of fun. And the fact that we got to go as long as we possibly could, it was just tons of fun to be able to experience that and go all the way.
What was it like playing at state?
Very exciting. I've never felt that before. I mean, I play club, so I've been in front of big crowds, but nothing like that. So it was super cool to be kind of like the center of attention for a full match or two, and just really have everyone watching and playing for such a big prize.
And you guys competed well in both games. You lost both games, but you lost both games 2-1. It wasn't like you went up there and you got blown out or you were in over your heads. I thought that you showed that you could compete with anybody there and anybody in the state. Great team, a lot of senior leadership. Talk about those seniors on this team.
Another large class, we had 9 seniors, and something that we stressed throughout the season was all about being a good teammate, and I think this group of seniors showed that in and out. They were some of the most unselfish players. It was, I think, reported by Matt Camp that we had a team that had 6 players with over 100 kills, which hasn't happened since before 2000. So just having that group just be as unselfish and just support each other. If one player was not doing well in a game, the other ones rallied around and picked up their gameplay and just kept trying to find a way to help each other and work together. I mean, this group was just a great group of leaders and teammates.
That makes it easier for you as a coach, doesn't it?
Just a little bit. It's more on them. They knew what needed to be done, and it was up to them to do it, and they held each other accountable to go out there and perform and do their job.
I saw you play during a tournament at our place at EHS. I watched the whole game. It was a lot of fun. I stood with board president John McDowell, and I watched your games against Mother McCauley. I watched and listened to the husband and wife duo of Kevin and Julie Mattarelli on her Facebook Live page. I thought that was pretty cool, actually. I was glad that I was able to see it. You know, those were exciting games. I thought you guys played well. But you had an incredibly talented group of girls, but you've got some good talented girls coming back.
Yeah, we have some underclassmen that are going to be returning to us that had some experience this year and a little bit last year. So while it is, I think, a little bit of a rebuilding year, hopefully the foundation that this group of seniors set this year just will keep building with the future.
Gabby, are you going to play next year? Have you decided?
Yeah, I plan on playing. I'm not committed yet, though.
Okay. What are you going to miss about playing at Edwardsville High School next year?
Just like the family type environment. I think we all got along very well on and off the court. And, you know, there's a great coaching staff, so that as well. And it was just a great environment to be a part of.
And this was your second year as head coach, am I right? Or is this your third year?
No, this is my second.
Second year. Okay. Was it different for you this year?
A little bit, just because last year it was just like a little taste. We were displaced. Right. We didn't get to play in the fall. We didn't get to have like a really full season. It was about a month long. So it really didn't feel like being a head coach during that season, just because it was, you blinked and it was over. We had 8 matches last year. So this year I think was more of it. It was a longer season. I mean, a full season. We traveled. We were able to see kind of a lot of different opponents as opposed to just our conference. So even though last year was my first year, it really felt like this was my first season as a head coach.
And you won the conference. That was a big deal for you first. I think that's the first thing you try to do before you get to the postseason. You try to be the best around.
Oh, absolutely. You always want to be the best in the region. And then I think being able to take down some of the more powerful programs in our conference, O'Fallon twice, Belleville West, Belleville East, Collinsville, I think some of those larger schools in our conference were the first goal.
Did playing in the Southwestern Conference prepare you for a postseason, or was it your tournaments that prepared you the most for the postseason? What was the competition you played during the season that best prepared you for competing with McCauley?
I think the tournaments that we pick up in our home tournament, we have some solid players, and I believe that there were several that competed in their state tournament, whether it was in Missouri or in Illinois. Then we travel up to Effingham, where we see a Northern powerhouse in Plainfield North. We see Herman, Missouri. We beat Herman, Missouri, and they actually won their division in the Missouri State Tournament.
The Winemakers?
Mm-hmm. I believe they won either 2A or 3A in the Missouri State. And then we travel up to Chicago twice, which on back-to-back weekends is pretty tough. But Up there, we're able to see more of those 4A in Bennett Academy, in Hinsdale Central and South, all the normal schools. And then we also were able to play this year in one of those tournaments, Nazareth, who ended up winning the 3A state title. So I think those kind of helped us a little bit better because it's competition that we don't see. It's where you just got to go out and play. You just got to go out and compete because we don't usually have as much video or experience with those teams. So being able to travel and see a variety. And I also think traveling up to Chicago helped us prepare for that super sectional where we had to travel up to DeKalb on a Friday and compete in that last match before making it to a state title.
Same question for both of you. What was the number one strength of this team? What did you guys do best?
I say working as a team because we had everything. We have great players all around. We have great DSs, amazing setters, strong hitters, and blockers. But I think it all came down to putting it together. And I think as the season went by, we got even better with that as working as a team. And so as long as we put all of our power and our strength and skills together, I think that's what made us the strongest team.
All right, Coach, you tell.
I agree with that, and I think this team knew how to prepare before some of those bigger matches, especially in postseason. We had to play O'Fallon on a Monday, and I think, honestly, that was one of the toughest matches we had to play because it was on home court. We knew the what it meant to get past them, so I think emotions were high. And then you had to practice on a Tuesday to play for a Wednesday and then practice on a Thursday to play for a Friday. So taking each step as its own, I think – that's what really led this team to where they were in our postseason. We talked about there were seven matches to get to that state title, and they took each one as its own step. There was no looking past one match. We prepared each match, and that's what these girls did. They were focused in every match.
The girl to your right, Gabby Say, is an All-State volleyball player and one of the area's best volleyball players, but she is the MESPY winner for 4A Volleyball Player of the Year. Describe what it's like to coach her.
Gabby's fun to coach. I know that she's one that will put a ball away in a big situation, and that's what led us. I think her teammates relied on that a lot. But the nice thing that I think Gabby did this year was mix it up. She just didn't always crush the ball. She was able to tip it. She was able to roll it. It took a little bit to get there. But she was a type of player that was a little bit more dynamic, that it wasn't just the one note over and over and over again. And she was one that I know that the team looked to that in a tight situation, who are we going to set? If Gabby was in the game, it was most of the time going to Gabby. And I think that that just shows the trust that her teammates had in her and what we were able to do.
Sounds like she improved during the season.
Well, one would hope that you never stop improving.
You've coached players that stopped improving. We all have.
Yes. And so, that's what you hope, though, as an athlete.
Of course.
As a player, as a coach, you just hope that you never stop learning. And so she didn't. This year, she just kept improving and improving, and it just showed throughout the entire season.
Good for you, Gabby.
Thank you.
Talk about Coach. What's it like to play for Coach Olau? Let's embarrass her for a second. Now, you're done with your career, so you can say whatever you want because she can't make you run. She can't bench you. Nothing.
Right.
What do you describe her?
No, but honestly, she's one of the greatest coaches I've ever had. She's honest, so she's not going to lie to you and tell you, you know, you're doing good if you're not. She'll tell you what you're doing wrong. She's really good with that. In a game, if you need help, she'll tell you what to fix, especially when it came to my blocking this year. She'll tell me exactly what I'm doing wrong so I could fix it or at least try to. She's just, all around, you know, practice games, but she's also a great person to talk to off the court. So if you're not playing volleyball, you can still go and talk to her. So she's just very helpful all around.
Let's get technical. What was she doing wrong with her blocks? Gotta get your hands up there.
Well, as you can tell, she's a big player. There's a big presence there, but it wasn't always pressing over onto the other side, stopping it before it came over the net. I think the matches where we were very successful, our blocking was on point. Where we struggled a little bit more was whenever our blocking wasn't always on point. But, there's always stuff to fix.
My personal take on volleyball, it's it's really emerging on the collegiate level and as a spectator sport. I think it's fun. I think it's fun to watch. And I think it's very emotional. Very emotional. I think when you have six girls on the court together, it's more emotional outwardly than singles. That's what I coach in tennis. Singles is emotional, but you keep more composure. In doubles, you have to be more outwardly emotional, I feel like. Are there any good volleyball teams where everybody's just chill and reserved? I feel like everybody celebrates like they win the Super Bowl after every single point.
I think you kind of need that emotion just because volleyball is all about momentum and energy swings. And if you just play kind of flat and calm, there's never any of that, competitiveness or the outright, just want to go after it. And so I always call volleyball the ultimate team sport because one person can't do it all. You can't touch the ball three times in a row. You've got to rely on the other ones. And so when your teammate makes that big play, it's that energy that you feed off of that just kind of keeps building that momentum and knocking the other team back a little bit.
Yep. I agree 100%. Totally. I knew that you were going to say that. Totally. And I think it's interesting how many sports say this is the ultimate team sport. You know, football thinks it's the ultimate team sport. There are other sports where they think this is the ultimate team sport. Soccer thinks it's the ultimate team sport. But I do think volleyball is a tremendous team sport, and I think it is incredibly emotional. But I think it's this also. I think it's easy for everybody to be hype when Gabby crushes a ball. I think who are the players who can keep their emotions when the other team makes a good play or when you don't make a good play? I think that's when you have to have emotional maturity. Mm-hmm. Agreed? Mm-hmm. So how do you coach that? How do you coach players to respond to negativity? Do you coach players? What do you tell them?
Essentially, like in volleyball, you're going to have those big plays. Other teams are going to have those big plays, but it's all about how you respond to it. And just know that we're just as good as anybody else. And one play doesn't define the entire match. It's the combination of plays and how you respond and what your teammates do. And if a teammate is starting to respond negatively, how are you going to pick them up? I think that was a big thing that this group of seniors fueled coming down this postseason. What motivates each person on the court and what can their teammates do to, one, get them out of that funk if they are in a funk, or like if they do something well, what fuels them? And I think that's the conversation that you need to have, because it doesn't rely on one player. One player doesn't make the team, but one player can impact a team based on their role. And so just focusing on that and having that conversation.
Okay, so what are you going to tell this team next year? First time you meet as a team next year and the girls get together and you've selected your team, post tryouts, you got your girls, you're going to say, okay, blank.
Oh, well, that's a long way off. But I think one of the things is that, yes, last year was very successful and we can learn from it, but this is a whole new team. This new team is going to write the history of this team. You only get one chance to be this past year, the 2021 Edwardsville Tigers. What legacy are you going to leave? Next year, they're going to be the 2022 Tigers. It's a completely different team. No year do you get the exact same team 2 years in a row. So each team is different. And that's, I would not compare next year's team to this year's because it's a different group of girls. But they're in charge of what they're going to do. And I think just stressing that you have the chance to do what you want to do. What is that?
All right, last question for both of you. What do you think you're going to remember about this year, 15 years down the road, 20 years down the road, 30 years? What moments right now, when I say what moments do you remember, what do you see?
Mine is definitely the Huntley game, so our super sectional game to go to state. It was definitely that game. Our blocking was amazing that game. The energy in the gym and the momentum that we had on our side of the court, it was just a great feeling. And I think I'll always remember that last point that Emma got a block, and it was just such an amazing feeling to just get to celebrate the fact that we are the second team to go to state.
Coach?
I don't know if there's just one thing, just because this group of girls, especially this group of seniors, is just a little bit more special to me. Gabby could probably say I couldn't even talk about them at the banquet without getting emotional, because this group of girls, whenever I decided not to coach, and I don't want to make this about me, but whenever I decided to take some time off to be a mom, this group of seniors was the first group that I came back to in middle school. They were seventh graders. I know a lot of them had played club, but that was their first year where they were playing middle school. So I was able to experience coaching some, playing against some. But then whenever I decided to come back to the high school again after taking some time off, they were the first group of freshmen. So I've been with them for about the last 6 years. And so just seeing that growth, I think, and seeing what dedication and high expectations of what players can do can impact a program. So I, like I said, I don't think it's just one thing. Just seeing this group of girls and just wishing that others can learn from what they were able to do.
Do you think they're going to be able to leave that legacy? That's the hope, right?
I think so. I know I still coach in the middle school and a lot of underclassmen, and I even shared this with the girls that so many underclassmen, and I'm talking about middle school players, and my daughter's one of them, are impacted by what they say and what they do. I know a couple of the girls said, I need to get better so I can be like them. I know my daughter specifically with Rachel Heflin, who was more of a role player. She was a senior that didn't get to play too often, but when she did, she took advantage of it. And I know I made Rachel cry at the banquet for saying this, but I'm going to say it again, is that my daughter said, you know, Rachel doesn't always play, but she's always cheering on her teammates. She's the loudest. She's the one that will do anything for her team. And I think that that just shows the unselfishness and what this team does, both on and off the court. It's not always gameplay. It's also being a good teammate.
Where does that come from? Where does Rachel Heflin's good attitude come from?
I think that's just her. I think she's always bubbly. I think that she is, just based on what she does in volleyball, just a great friend. She's one that will always have her friends' backs, and it just shows that no matter what happens, she gets the big picture, and she's supportive of anybody that she's a teammate of.
I think her family plays a big role in that, too.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's learned. I don't think somebody just says, oh, I'm just going to be a good teammate today. I think that that's just a reflection of what she was brought up and the people that she surrounds herself with.
If she goes home and her family says, darn that coach, you should be playing more, then that's going to be her attitude. But that wasn't her attitude, so yeah. It worked out great. And sounds like you had a team full of good attitudes this year.
Yeah, like I said, they were some of the most unselfish players. It was all about, you know, if I'm not doing my job, who's going to go in there and do it for me? I mean, it's
amazing what can happen when everybody just pulls together.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, ladies, congratulations on your unbelievable season. I'm super happy for you. On a personal level, it was fun for me to go out to the games. I went out to at least two, and then I also went to your send-off.
Yeah.
With swim and dive, and that was fun. That was nice.
Yeah.
And that was, I won't forget that, and I don't think your girls will either. And it's only second time going to state. That's a big deal. You laid the framework, the foundation for hopefully years to come. And congratulations, and only your second year.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for coming by. Okay. Sticking with the volleyball theme tonight, we're going to go with Angie Crawford of Waterloo High School for our 3A volleyball team of the year. But first, I got to talk about Cassins Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Thanks to partner Cassins Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, the number one place to purchase a vehicle in the Metro East. If you're in the market for a new or a pre-owned car, check out Cassins inventory in person where they've been for 25 years or online at Cassins.com. Cassins has earned the highest ratings for customer service. Their expert staff is committed to making your car buying experience enjoyable, including convenient on-site financing. I've purchased 4 vehicles there. My daughter drives an IU Red Jeep Cherokee, and my wife and I are on our second Jeep Grand Cherokee. With over 80 years of experience in the Metro East, Cassins is the clear-cut leader for quality, service, and customer satisfaction. Go see Steve, Cliff, Holly, Greg, Bob, Mike, Tony, or Trent today. All right. Angie Crawford, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
How's life in Waterloo?
Fantastic. It's a great small town with a lot of wonderful people who are very supportive and a great place to raise children.
Are you from Waterloo?
I'm originally from Valmire.
Okay.
So I didn't go too far.
And you live there now in Waterloo?
We lived in Waterloo for quite some time. We actually bought some property still in the Waterloo School District.
Perfect.
And, but it's a Fultz, address, but out in the country.
And you said that you told me off mic before we started that you're a teacher at Waterloo High School.
I am a teacher, yes. I've been teaching for 26 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I told you I was old.
I can't believe you're that old. I have to guess you were 25. So if you don't believe me, you can get on YouTube and look at this interview. You can check out Coach Crawford online. You can see she looks like Cindy Crawford. But,
oh, God.
All right, but that's not here what you're talking about. You're here to talk about your awesome 3A volleyball team of the year at Waterloo. Great group of girls, huh?
They are a fantastic group of girls that have a tremendous knowledge of the game of volleyball, a great love of the game, and just a passion to compete. Just a fun group. I push them, they push me, and together, you know, we had just a wonderful, legendary run that Waterloo High School has not seen in the volleyball program before.
Well, it's been the last time the girls at Waterloo won a conference championship, you said, was 2009, right?
Correct.
But they were regional champions in 2019.
Correct.
So 2009, over a decade is quite a while.
Correct.
And what put this team over the hump to be able to take care of Highland and CM and Triad, the perennial powerhouses in your conference?
You know, usually teams have, like, at least two strong hitters. I was so fortunate in every rotation. I had strong hitters, three strong hitters at the net at all times, except for we originally were running a 6-2, and then I had to run a 5-1 due to an injury with one of my setters. And so my other setter she ran a 5-1. She did her very, very best. You know, it's not something her strongest suit is hitting and blocking, but she gave it everything she had and did a tremendous job running that 5-1.
How many years have you been the head coach at Waterloo?
This was my 11th year at Waterloo.
Okay. Were you someplace before this?
Yes, I have. I started in 96 at Mattoon High School. I was the freshman coach there for 2 years. And then I went to Marissa High School for 1 year as their varsity head coach. Then I went to Valmeyer, and I was there for 12 years. I didn't coach all those years. I had my first son, and when he was one, decided to retire for a little while, a little mini retirement. Went and got my master's, my administrative degree. Then I had our second son, and when he was about four, I started coaching junior high ball again, and the rest is history. A job came open at Waterloo where it was going to give me the opportunity to teach health the majority of the day, and that's really my passion, is really reaching kids and giving them power to, you know, be able to take care of themselves, think about their decisions, and helping just to make good people in our community. And that's a huge passion for me. And I just wanted to take that opportunity, and it got me right back into varsity volleyball again.
It's amazing how similar your story is to Heather Olau's. Heather Olau was just in here from Edwardsville High School. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Was into coaching, got out of coaching for her children, and then got back into coaching in middle school, and then wound up being a varsity coach. It's just an identical career path. Yeah. Kind of strange.
I really wasn't planning on it. You know, I really thought I was going to go the administrative route at some point, but I always think that you have a purpose in life. I think what I do ultimately is where I'm supposed to be. I think God gives you those opportunities, and I think that now that I'm especially getting older, I just appreciate so much the opportunity of having this relationship with players. It's so different than just being a teacher. Not just, but you just have a connection with kids. So very different than you do as a teacher.
When you're competing.
Exactly.
When you're competing, yes. And you're trying to pull together and do this special thing, which is compete in your conference and go to state and qualify for state, it's a different level. I mean, you can do a lot of cool things in the classroom, but this is a little bit different as well.
Yeah. You know, my main thing is, you know, and I know when I started at Waterloo, it was such an issue with self-doubt and, you know, kind of the belief of, well, losing's okay. To some degree. And we push to just really build a mental toughness with these girls, as well as a belief that they will carry with them ultimately to make them strong women. You know, so we really work on, I always do this thing with them, breathing in self-confidence and exhaling self-doubt and closing their eyes and watching their self, you know, doing those skills that they are responsible for perfectly, you know, and building that belief in them. Because, boy, that is 100%, 95% of the game is believing in yourself and having that power of getting out there and not letting anyone get in your head.
Give me one of these for that. That was so good. It was so good. You know, when you, that I've been so lucky for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to bring in the best coaches and athletes in the Metro East.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get off on, they start talking about this stuff, and I just get so fired up, and I can see that's why you're a great coach. You are empowering these women to believe in themselves, and you're working on mental toughness. Mm-hmm. It's obvious, and it's working.
Yes.
Right. You had a great year. You had a great year this year.
We had a fantastic year. And, you know, and it's really interesting, especially because at the high school level, you get kids who devote their entire life to volleyball, and they're big club players. And, you know, there's all, of course, all different levels of club. And then you have the kids that really want to be that multi-sport athlete still, or at least two high school sports, and they're still playing club. You know, but it's not that aggressive, like I'm going to travel type of club experience. And then you have kids who are, I really enjoy volleyball, but my passion is, for example, softball. And I want to play college softball, but I really want to be in your volleyball program. And so you incorporate all these different investments of the game of volleyball together. And then you get all these different competitive levels together. And you have to jive that. And that was one of our struggles this season, because I had some super competitive girls who will push through and expect the best. And I had some girls that had to realize that, man, we could do that too. And I'm telling you, that's when we took off. Our first beginning of the season was, there was too much self-doubt going on, not putting that competitive face out there and knowing and believing that we're going to push through. There might be rough moments, but we're going after this together, and we can do anything together.
How do you teach them to put that tough face out there? I tell them, fake it till you make it.
I agree with that. I've always said, fake it until you can make it. I believe that 100% too. But I also tell them, your teammates are there to pick you up. Don't worry about mistakes. We all make mistakes. I make a mistake. I make mistakes as a coach, and I own up to them. Then we figure out the pieces and we put it back together. Your teammates are on that court with you. They are going to get you through.
And you know what? That's why tennis and golf are so tough.
Yeah.
Because there is nobody out there with you.
No, there's not.
And that's a different kind of toughness, but you're so right. You're out there, and you can pick each other up.
Exactly.
Okay. You had good senior leaders this year, right?
Absolutely, yes.
You can't be good without it.
No.
Who were your senior leaders?
We start out, we have the Montgomery twins, Paige Montgomery and Haley Montgomery. They were starters in my program since their freshman year, so they were definitely instrumental people. With
four-year starters.
Yes, with guidance.
Say their names again.
Paige Montgomery and Haley Montgomery.
Can you tell them apart?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You definitely can tell.
I've got twins, too, that I can tell
apart. Oh, do you really?
That's awesome. It took me a while, but I can tell Brooklyn and Jessa Earnhardt apart anyway. It took a while.
Yeah, they are. And they are actually, their personalities are extremely different as well. And Ella Bockhorn, she was a vital person that built herself in her freshman year eventually also, and has just been a fantastic player for me as well. She actually has had to play all three positions in the front row for me at some point in her high school career, and she did a tremendous job. Ellie Schwer was our setter that ran the 5-1 for me this year. And Maddie Davis was our libero this season. And she was that softball girl that I was talking about, who was actually moving on to play college softball. And she told me, you know, she's like, I know I'm leaving for this, you know, my tournament, and I got to miss this some of the summer stuff, but coach, I'm getting that libero jersey. And I said, okay, you go for it, you know, and she sure did. And Alyssa Grayson was one of our other seniors, and she was a right side hitter. She did get some opportunity to play for us, but she was an instrumental person on the sideline pushing us to have success on the court by her motivation and her intensity level, and that is so valuable to my program.
Yep. Heather Olau, again, just here, said the exact same thing. You know, there's you've got six girls that are out there on the floor, mm-hmm. and you've got girls who don't play all the time, but play mm-hmm. sometimes, and mm-hmm. their attitude on the bench and in yes. practice is infectious.
Yes.
It can bring everybody up or it can tear everybody down.
Exactly.
So kudos to those girls and kudos to your team on yes. bringing everybody together in terms of attitude.
Absolutely.
Did you create that or was that just who they are?
You know, it's always interesting, especially when you have young girls that play at the varsity level. There's so much growing up that occurs between that freshman age until their senior year. And you really develop, and you have some ups and downs with those kids. I truly believe that because you get to know them, they get to know you, and then we figure it out together. I think together we created it. That is my honest, heartfelt belief.
Hmm. So what are you looking forward to next year?
I really feel finally comfortable.
Tough act to follow.
It is, but I finally feel comfortable at Waterloo. I feel like, and I didn't feel that way for a long time, but I feel like we have finally created that climate that I've been so thriving for. And these young girls behind them, I've got some experienced juniors and I've got some sophomores and we've got some freshmen and some incoming, well, I mean, I should say also our incoming eighth graders that are going to be very valuable to our program. It's a very hard act to follow. You know, can you compare? Next year is a brand new year. You start over, you build, and you focus on that year.
How many teams do you have there? Do you have a varsity and a JV?
We have three. I run a varsity, I run a JV, and typically I run a Fresh South program, especially when I'm heavy with seniors and juniors. I just try to give those sophomores they're right there. I don't want to lose them. I want to see what we can give them one more year and try to give them that opportunity to move up next year, that following year to JV.
Do you have to cut?
Yes, I do, but I do conferences with kids and I tell them what their roles are and I give them the opportunity to decide, can you stay and handle this and be a positive part of our program? It's up to you entirely. Now there have been years I've had to cut, and when our numbers have been larger, I've been super blessed. I've had kids that just continually have stuck their hearts into our program and they're okay with their roles. And our team has, the numbers have grown. Not every year has it been that way, especially earlier on. Kids don't like to sit the bench. Kids don't like to have that, well, if I'm not getting playing time, this is not for me. I've had a much different attitude these past few years.
Sometimes
it's
okay. I
appreciate that.
Sometimes a kid says, you know what, and then they go and they find something else at which
yes.
they're better.
And I want them, and this is what I always tell them. You only get 4 years in high school. I want you to enjoy those 4 years. I want you to go after what your passion is. And what I really want kids, and I always explain this to them, to remember, what you put in things is what you get out. Mm. So many kids just think, well, if I show up, I should have this right. Well, unfortunately, when you get to the high school level, that's not how it works any longer. And then my belief is I have to make the decisions along with my coaching staff to do what's right for the whole and what's fair for the whole. And that is to put our best competitive group out there together.
And what's your story? Did you grow up playing volleyball?
I did. I started it in fourth grade, and I played all the way up through. I got a scholarship to play at Quincy. I played my first year. It was not what I expected. The coach I had signed with left at the last minute. We had a coach that they brought in that never actually played volleyball, didn't know anything about it. She happened to be the assistant basketball coach. Didn't have a really good experience, so I chose to take my vocal scholarship at the same college.
You're a singer.
I used to be.
What?
Yeah. And
like,
so
what kind of singing?
I did that. Oh, I usually, well, I'm more country, but I'm also like, I was in musicals and those types of things. But
really?
Yes, and I really have
what musicals?
I was Hello Dolly in my high school career.
Okay, let's hear it.
No, oh God, no.
Come on.
No.
How about a little bit of crazy Patsy Cline?
No, oh no.
I bet you could do it.
No, I can't do that right now.
So you took a vocal scholarship at Quincy.
I did, my second year. Then I had, they brought in a different coach my third year, and they had asked me to come back and play. And I'm like, you know, I really want to do this. So I was going to go back. And then the flood happened. I'm sure you've heard of that before.
Like Old Testament flood?
No, the flood in the flood in Valmire. And
the famous Valmire flood, the same one in Alton in like 90.
Yes.
What, 90?
93.
I feel like there was one.
Yes, 93, I think.
In like 87.
Yes, there was. So I chose to come back and stay at and be closer to home. Went to Edwardsville. They didn't have a volleyball varsity program then.
So you were coaching?
No. I came back.
Oh, you went to SIU Edwardsville.
Yes, SIU Edwardsville. I transferred, went and played on their club program. They didn't have a varsity program at that time. Played the junior colleges around in the area and decided, you know, I'm not getting out what I really wanted it. People weren't taking it seriously. So then I went back and started helping my high school coach, Carla Bivens, coach and build my resume. And the rest is history.
There you go. And yes, you're loving it.
I am loving it. Yeah.
Well, good luck again next year. I hope you
appreciate it.
You know, I'm sure you're going to compete well.
We will. I've got some strong juniors that are going to come in and be some very strong leaders. So,
and, you know, supposedly it's harder to establish the culture than it is to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what John Wooden at UCLA said. He said once he established that culture, it was easier to keep that rock rolling downhill, but sounds like you got it going the right direction. I appreciate the good coaching. You made me want to have a coach's clinic. Maybe want to have a coach's clinic where you get a chance to stand up and talk about empowering female athletes. We need to have a Metro East Sports podcast.
Yes, that's our job.
Coach's clinic.
I'm really blessed because there's so many just extremely fantastic coaches in my conference and actually in the Metro East area.
Totally.
That I just have the utmost respect for.
Yeah. All right. Angie Crawford, Waterloo High School, 3A MESPY winner, team of the year. Thanks so much for coming by.
We appreciate it. Thank you for having me. Take care.
Okay, before I get to golf team of the year, girls golf team of the year, O'Fallon Township High School, and Chris Eddy, their incredible coach, I got to talk about Andy Calloway of Calloway Home Loans because he saves me money every month now, and he'll save my family thousands in the long run. How? He refinanced my existing mortgage, and he can do the same for you. Rates are incredibly low, and you need to take advantage of an easy, fast, and affordable way to refinance. They do conventional FHA and VA loans. And ask for the MESP special. If you refinance with Andy, he will donate $100 to the Metro East High School team or program of your choice. He'll give $100 to O'Fallon Girls Golf. He'll give $100 to O'Fallon Football. He'll give $100 to the Kahawk Soccer Program. It is completely up to you. But call Andy today at 618-830-3332. Save money and support your favorite team in the Metro East. All right, Chris. Why did we sit here and have all these long conversations off mic? We just talked for almost 20 minutes off microphone about everything from camps to coaching philosophy. We should have had this mic on this whole time.
Well, thanks for having me again. I mean, we're just all trying to grow junior golf and different junior sports around the area, so we got to continue to pick each other's brain.
Well, you're working hard. You've got Metro East Golf Academy.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of started that idea a couple of years ago and didn't kick it into force. Started thinking about that in December and January, and then we ended up launching that in February. Our goal was to have 24 kids between kindergarten and ninth grade for an hour and a half clinic, and we ended up launching that on the website in February, and within 24 hours, we already had 26 kids. So I was kind of thinking we're going to get 8 kids right away, and then 8 kids a month later, and then right before maybe work hard to fill it up. And then within 24 hours, we were already full, and then we decided to open up a Thursday, and 2 days later, we launched that, and within 24 hours, that was full as well.
Wow.
So around the area, I mean, we've got kids coming from 30 and 40 minutes away. You know, what we think we do a little bit different is, you know, so we were having 26 to 28 kids. We were having 6 coaches. You know, we had Dan May, who's helped coach high school golf for 51 years. We had a couple of local teaching pros. We had a couple of college golfers. We had Collinsville boys and girls coach out there, O'Fallon boys and girls coach out there, Belize boys and girls coach out there. So we were filling it up with a lot of local area high school coaches to help keep it going.
That's really cool, man. And where are you doing this?
We're doing it at Yorktown. It's a par three course, which is it's really awesome because we worked with most kids 20 minutes on the range, 20 minutes chipping, 20 minutes putting, and then they're in groups of four with an instructor going out on the course for 30 minutes. So they get to play, and we get to discuss a little bit of the mental game and a little bit of the course management. So that it's been working great for us. We've got a lot of interest, and it's continuing to grow.
Okay, so you're working with them on the range, and then you're going with them out on the course.
Correct. And
that is different. That's where it's at, man. Because no matter what you see me doing on the range, if you don't see me applying it on the course, it's not happening.
I agree. I mean, it works great. We got a 4 or 5 to 1 coach to player ratio. We're working different stations, getting them out on the course, and you know, they get out on the course, their eyes always light up, and they're excited to be out there. So, I mean, it's been working great.
Totally, man. Totally, man. And you know what? Your numbers say that it's working too, right?
We were thinking 24 kids to start. We ended up with over just under 60 between our Tuesday, Thursday sessions in the spring. Between then our summer camps and our summer tournaments, we ended up with 307 different golfers that attended something that we had, being a camp, a clinic, or one of those tournaments. So, I mean, we're looking to grow it this year. We're trying to find different ways to continue to get more kids interested in the game.
Yeah, golf is lucky to have you, man. Golf is lucky to have you. You're attracting kids to the game, and not just to your school, but you are attracting kids to and you're helping kids at the other schools, working with the East coaches and the other coaches. You're doing a good job. All right, I got to talk about you are 3A Girls Golf Team of the Year, and presenting the Golf Teams of the Year is my friend Mike Surrey at Oak Brook Golf Club. Located northeast of Edwardsville, Oak Brook Golf Club is a family-owned 27-hole public golf facility. Their goal is to offer the highest quality golf experience for a reasonable fee. Oak Brook is consistently recognized for awards such as friendliest staff, best course to host a fundraiser, and best senior scramble in the bi-state area. From fundraisers to leagues to instruction to an afternoon out on the links by yourself, the Brook wants to win your business. I've personally played it and hosted multiple golf scrambles there, and I can attest, Mike Surrey and his staff are the best. To book your tee time or to start organizing your next fundraising scramble, give them a call at 656-5600 or check them out online at oakbrookgc.com. Because you talking about attracting kids to the game, that made me think of Mike, because he does the same thing. And we all have to work together in our sports. There can't just be one guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, Mike's got one of the largest junior programs in the area and probably the state and maybe even nationwide. I mean, he does a great job. I mean, Edwardsville, truthfully, in all sports have done a phenomenal job of developing their kids, keeping their kids in. I mean, teaching them at such a young age the system that they want at the high school level and beyond, and have many successful programs year after year. Between Oak Brook and Mike and Sunset Hills, I mean, the boys and girls program at Edwardsville has always been very good.
But you're kicking butt too, Chris. I mean, you're doing a great job. And O'Fallon is right there too in the Southwestern Conference. It's probably the biggest rivalry in the conference is Edwardsville and O'Fallon. And that's why you and I are going to fist fight here in about 10 seconds.
Sounds good.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to have somebody to compete against. You know, those are the games that you get up for. Tomorrow, Edwardsville plays O'Fallon in girls basketball. It doesn't mean we hate O'Fallon. It means that that's a game we want to win because O'Fallon is good.
They've continued to be good rivals. I mean, it's the same with girls golf. I mean, we want to perform well. They want to perform well.
Absolutely.
And playing each other continues to make both programs better. I mean, as far as matches between during the season, Libby and I at Edwards will have probably one or two. Like this year, we've been having an 18-hole Ryder Cup match, 13 versus our team.
Cool.
Just to continue to compete at a high level. It makes the girls continue to improve.
Yep, absolutely. If O'Fallon was crushing everybody every single week, you wouldn't be getting better, right? But because you've got Edwardsville right there competing with you at a high level, they push you, you push them, and that makes you better.
I completely agree. I mean, they're the they're our biggest competition around. We're their biggest competition around, and you know, you get that different different sense of urgency when you're competing against each other, as opposed to competing against some other teams. So I mean, it helps raise the bar for your kids both physically and mentally. And I mean, golf is more mental, just like most sports, than physical, and you have to continue to put your kids in that position to where they actually have to think a little bit about it and enter knowing, hey, we better play well today, because if we don't play well, we might not win. So you get that in their mind and get them through that a lot. Then other pressure situations they're already used to, and they perform well.
You're the Mespe winner. Your team of the Mespe winners for 2A golf. You're the team of the year as far as this podcast is concerned. You were the conference champs, which is a big deal. You were the sectional champs. You finished top 10 at state. That's a really big deal. Congrats on all the success. What drove this team?
I mean, you know, this team was interesting. We lost three seniors last year. Two of them were very, very important. Two of them went on to play college golf. We developed a lot of young kids. We had Reagan Martin and Maddie Vanderheiden are two of the best players in the area. I mean, Reagan won the regional. Maddie won the sectional. Maddie shot 69 in the sectional to win by four. And you got everybody south of Chicago winning by four individually at a sectional. It was very, very awesome. So they ran out in front a lot. We had Valerie Minecoth, who averaged, off the top of my head, 82, 83-ish. Then we had a couple people around that 85, 87 number. So, I mean, we counted Reagan and Maddie every single round. In the postseason, it actually kind of became a little interchangeable piece to where our three and our four were sometimes counting, and our five and our six were sometimes counting, which is very helpful, which we've had in years before where we've had a lot of depth. This year we didn't start off with a lot of depth, but by the end we started to have some depth to where if somebody didn't play well, we could rely on somebody else. And you know, conference tournaments, we jumped out and we shot 296, two off our school record, which gave us a great head start. And then second round was just in the pouring down rain the whole time and closed the deal there, so that was great. You know, anytime you can win the sectional and go to state tournament as well, it's awesome.
Big time. As I listen to you speak, it occurs to me, your talent at the top is luck. You get a talented player, you don't get a talented player, whatever. But team depth is coaching and program development. Agree?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our success has been depth. We've usually have other schools in the area who have a better one and maybe a better two. I mean, this year our one and our two are very good. But it's still, you got to get the third and fourth score. There's a lot of schools who will have a good one, they'll have a good two, but then they'll have to count 90-95 to where, I mean, I remember our first conference tournament round, we had everybody under 80, which when you do that, you're going to be very good. And when you get somebody who goes deep and you've still got a couple other solid scores, or you've got, you know, people in the five and six slot shooting 80 to 85 for you playing one of their best rounds, it gives you a great chance to be successful, or at least keeps you in every single event. And I mean, we were in every single event, which is important, even when we're playing with the whole statewide competition.
Okay, so give me your typical practice day. What does it look like? Do you have kids on the range, and then everybody plays a round? You told me what it looks like when I come to a golf clinic, and that makes sense. I get that organization. What does a typical Chris Eddy O'Fallon girls golf practice look like?
We spend about 15 or 20 minutes on the range. Then we spend 45 minutes to an hour on short game. And then we go out on the course for about 30 to 45 minutes. And as far as short game, most of the girls get really annoyed with it. So we try to incorporate a bunch of games. But we try to get them to realize the fact of they can hit the ball as well as everybody else from every other team, even their best players. But where we're giving away strokes is on our short game. Where we can improve the most is on our short game. So we really grind that out. And then we go out on the course, and most time they'll tee off, we'll get to the green, and each hole we'll spend 20 or 25 minutes trying to hit different chip shots, trying to hit different putts, trying to get out of the bunker, and just trying to manage our game. Because in most golf, if your high score is a bogey on a hole, you're going to be successful. You can make up from that. If you look at a lot of the people who struggle, they make a double and they make a triple and they make a quad, and then they let that problem compound. So we're trying to really stress the course management. You're going to hit some bad shots. Get over those bad shots. We got to continue on our way.
You know, it's one stroke at a time. It's taking what the course gives me and trying not to make the big number. How's that sound?
That's exactly. I mean, you've heard the speech before, but I mean, it's so true too. I mean, you've got to keep your head in it.
It's easy to say, but it's so hard to do.
It is. I mean, we come up with an individual plan. A lot of people kind of joke. I mean, each kid on the team has an individual yardage book, and different people have different plans to where, our coaching staff has kind of dictated some tee shots of what they're going to hit and how they're going to play. We're pretty active in coaching course management on the course and kind of mentally trying to keep them in the whole time. I mean, a lot of them have a lot of talent, but, you know, sometimes they want to hit some shots with high risk. And there's some tournaments we let them hit a lot of the high risk shots. And then there's some tournaments we kind of want to control them more just because we can't have our score inflate. But there were some tournaments we let them do exactly what they wanted to do. And some of those didn't turn out exactly how they wanted, which is good because then you get more of the buy-in from them. And you establish a course management plan to where they try to tell you what they think is best, because if you can get them believing that your plan is good, then you've got an effective plan. If they think you're just telling them and you're not getting the buy-in from them, it becomes a lot bigger struggle. You got to get them to believe what you're telling them is the right thing and get that buy-in from them.
That's so good. That's why I love this job. That's why I keep doing it. I keep learning. You know, it's so good to hear you. To hear you talk through these things, and I just keep applying them to my own coaching career. And the one thing I remember you saying last year was, because I do the same thing early in a season, sometimes you'll let a kid just go down a path which isn't necessarily good, just because you know it's going to lead to a learning moment.
And we actually did that at our home tournament. We shot our season high at our home tournament. Girls want to play certain holes certain ways, to where their average is going to go up. They want to hit driver on certain holes that they're not meant for to hit driver. They're hitting it into the narrow pinch to where you have to hit it absolutely perfect. And at our home tournament, we let them play how they wanted to play. And for good and bad reasons, it didn't work out well for them, which was, in my mind, good, because then you got more buy-in about where we're trying to hit the ball and why we're trying to hit there. Because on two easy holes at Tamarack, on hole 15 and 16 at Tamarack, two of the shortest, most simple holes out there, we made some very large numbers by not playing it very intelligent. So,
All right. I want to ask you a couple more questions, but first I got to talk about Keller Williams Marquis. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metro East on the Illinois or Missouri side, please give our partners at Keller Williams Marquis, Jeb and Ginger Blassingame, the chance to serve you. They have offices in Waterloo, O'Fallon, and Edwardsville with more than 130 agents. The Blassingames are a family-owned business that has helped over 5,000 families find just the right home. The Lipes are one of those families. Jeb and Ginger sold our house quickly because they're experts at staging and pricing, and they helped us find the perfect home, and they can do the same for you. No wonder they're ranked in the top 10 real estate teams in North America. Give Jeb and Ginger Blassingame a call at 618-578-9276 or check them out online at blassinggamegroup.com. You will not be disappointed. You're not the same coach you were when you started this gig.
No, I've developed, and I've had a lot of good people to help me. Like I said, I mean, Dan May, he's been my assistant for 15 years. He coached the boys team for 36 years. Then when he retired, he asked me if I needed any help to please let him know. And 15 years later, he's still been helping me. So
wow. So he's been with the golf program at O'Fallon for how many years?
51 now. He did the boys program for 36, and then he's been with me for, I'm on year 14 or 15.
That dude's been there for a half a century.
He has. And, you know, he moves around like he's 40 and he's 71. He helps me out an absolute ton, because there's a lot of ideas that we just continue to bounce off of each other about, you know, what's best for each individual kid. Because as we all know, each high school girl and each high school athlete's different. So we're trying to figure out each high school kid how to get through to him on different topics. And then, you know, him and I are trying to figure out the best way to individually teach each kid, because all the kids swing a little bit different, and how we're going to tweak it to kind of make him more consistent and a better player.
Who else helps you out with your program?
Lonnie McMinn. Lonnie had Alyssa McMinn, who's playing for the University of Evansville, and then Brianna McMinn, who played for Murray State. So Lonnie's helped me out for 6 or 7 years, and then he even helped out this year because he loves it so much, even though he doesn't have a daughter in the program. He started giving individual lessons, and I told him that I was sure that I could fill him up with individual lessons, right, and I'd have more people to him than he wanted. And about midway through the season last year, he's like, Chris, I'm already too full.
Booked.
And then another guy named Andrew Davidson, which is Chloe Davidson, who's playing at University of Maryville right now. You know, he was at sectional with us this year too. So I've got a good helpful supporting cast.
And remind me, when and how much can you speak to players during a round?
You can talk to them until your player walks onto the green. And then when the final person is hold out, you can start talking again. So you can coach them from when they tee off until they're on the green.
Okay.
So you've basically all you can't do is walk on the green and read putts for them. Other than that, you can hold their hand as much as you want. You can give them the freedom. Each kid is different on our team. I mean, there's a lot of kids that you can coach the whole time and they really like it, and you can add a lot of value to them. There's some kids to where you don't add much value to. Over the years, we've grown a relationship with different kids to where you coach them more. I mean, on the college level, they've almost served as caddies. You allowed two coaches and caddies as well. They can do everything but carry your bag in college. So they literally follow one or two kids the entire round and basically caddy for them for 18 holes without actually carrying their club. In high school, you can do the same thing essentially until they get on the green. So there's some kids we walk with the entire time. There's some holes that are more difficult than others. So we'll sit on those holes. It kind of depends on how some of our kids are playing, what event it is, and what course it is. Kind of dictates our coaching strategy.
And you get together beforehand, you say, okay, you're going to take this kid and you're going to stay with her. I want you to stay on hole number four because don't let him pull the driver out of their bag, man.
I mean, it's certain things like that. Up at state.
I can do it. I'm down.
Up at state, there's certain holes to where people traditionally make big numbers. So you're just trying to work with them, ensure that they don't make some of those big numbers, reassure them with some confidence because some of them need more confidence. I was with Maddie Vander Hayden a lot this year, and Dan May or whoever was serving as an assistant was kind of with a couple of the other kids. And you're only counting four scores, and they have live scoring now on your phone, so you can figure out who's going to count for you and who's not. And, I mean, we value all six people on your team, but when you figure out what four are going to count, you're putting more attention into those four for that round.
That's good. All right, give me the trademark of a Chris Eddy team.
Work really hard, have great course management, and within a program have depth and be coachable.
Yeah. Well, good luck, man, and good luck with Metro East Golf Academy. Where can people find out more about the Metro East Golf Academy?
We're on Facebook, Metro East Golf Academy. We have a website, metroeastgolfacademy.com. We haven't launched Twitter yet. We'll do that soon. All the information's up at Yorktown as well. We're going to launch that late January, early February again and have those spring clinics on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We're going to have several camps again during the summer, and we had two very successful tournaments with over 100 juniors last year, and we're going to have those same two junior tournaments. One will be early June, and one will be early August.
Awesome, man. Keep up the good work. On behalf of all of us in the Metro East, man, keep up the good work attracting kids to the game and building an opportunity for kids, right?
Hey, thank you for having us. I mean, Metro East Sports Podcast, we continue just to bring in all these high school coaches and great players and just kind of showing the area of what talent's around here.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of it.
I completely agree.
Now, I had another thought, too. This is the holiday season, okay? We're December 6th, and this is the high time for people to be purchasing their holiday gifts, their Christmas gifts, perhaps. Okay. Here's my message. Shop in the Metro East, folks. If you love the Metro East, support the Metro East. Spend as much money as you can in Metro East stores. From Columbia to Jerseyville, Alton, Edwardsville, O'Fallon, Belleville. I don't care where you go. Spend as much of your holiday gift money as you can in the Metro East. You agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, as I was driving here, I was seeing two places I just ate in the last month. So I'm doing a good job of keeping my money in the Metro East and even the Edwardsville, Glen Carbon area.
Totally.
Got a lot of places to go, a lot of things to do here, and a lot of support we can have to the Metro East.
Let's keep supporting each other, man. Businesses, if you're shopping, if you're going out to eat, like you said, getting haircuts.
You know, my haircut's pretty simple. You know, it takes me sometimes just about 45 seconds to a minute. And, you know, I got a fresh cut.
It looks good. Okay, well, man, thanks so much for coming back again. I want you back again and again. And let's talk about some of those tournaments and stuff. Are you going to do junior golf, junior team golf? Is that something that you guys are going to dabble into?
That is something that is kind of in the works. We're trying to talk to different people to figure out if we were kind of bunting around the idea of trying to create some junior league and the logistics of it. You know, last year, if you told me we were going to have 307 different kids sign up for things, I would have told you were crazy. We're trying to figure out the logistics of that, and it's very possible that could get launched out here in the spring and the summer.
All right, Chris Eddy, thanks so much for coming by to the Metro East Sports Podcast, where, as always, the guests make the show. Big thanks to Heather Olau, Gabby Say, Angie Crawford, and, of course, Chris Eddy. And for partners, Callaway Home Loans, Cassin's Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, Keller Williams Marquee, Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game, Integrity Spine and Joint Center, Oak Brook Golf Club, and Front Office Fiduciary Network. Our producers, Brian Kroc and Everett Hicks. Thank you for listening to the Metro East Sports Podcast, talking all things sports in the Metro East.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.